Today's podcast is brought to you by our awesome patrons at patreon.com and by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Over 180,000 titles to choose from in all your favorite genres. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today.
You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on, let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm your host, Sarah Austin. In the studio with me today, my wife, Becca.
Good morning.
And a special guest today, Michael Kaplan.
Hello.
Welcome. You want to introduce your friend?
Carlos.
Is Carlos allowed to be on the show today? Or
he can. His English is un poquito.
Well, Carlos, there's a microphone
okay.
There.
If you want to
chime in, it's right there.
Just you can say hola.
This is episode.
Carlos looks shy. It's okay.
He is a little shy. Yeah,
he makes up for another area.
We'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
This is episode 41 of Sarah Talk, and I should probably give you the disclaimer up front. This is going to be a filthy fucking episode. We get pretty rough most of the time.
Not
but this one,
safe for work.
Not safe for work.
Tell your children, to walk away.
Yeah, there you go.
So first of all. We are live again on Spreaker, and it's what, spreaker.com/Saratalk or something like that. But if you're on Facebook and the Twitter, when we go live on Monday mornings when we record the show, we will put a link out on social media so you guys can listen to it live while it's happening. And there's a chat room you can get in and send us questions and just kind of talk to people who are listening. So that's a good, fun time. Also, we are now available. I don't know why it took us 41 episodes. We are now available on Google Play Music. So for those of you who hate the iPhone and you've been wanting to subscribe to the phone, there's a nice, easy way now. It's right on Google Play. So check that out. Let's talk a little bit about my transition update. I know we haven't really discussed this on the show lately because there hasn't really been a whole lot. We talk a lot about transition is... It's a lifetime thing, like you're always going through it, but really it is a kind of a moment in time that you go through this, and it's all stormy and swirling all at once. And then once that's over, hopefully you just live your life in the new gender. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, I'm not having to like come out to a bunch of people anymore. I am who I am. And people know me as me. However, my son, who's 6, going to be 7 in a couple months, has always, and we've talked about this before, you know, he's known me prior to the transition and through the transition. So it's been hard to change the pronouns, and it's been hard to kind of get him to come around to that. Now, that said, he's been very accepting and supportive, and so what we're going through right now is, and what I've said on the show before a million times is, what he wants to call me has more to do with him than it has to do with me. And so if he wants to call me daddy, he calls me daddy, and I don't really care. And then now we're to a point where that's starting to bother me. I'm especially in public. You can call me whatever you want at home, but when we're out, you know, at the at Target or whatever, and you know, Daddy, I need to go to the bathroom or whatever.
People are looking around.
Where's
the daddy? There's no daddy over here.
Exactly. It calls attention to the fact that I am transgender. So so we've been trying to figure out how to work around that. And I think he decided, I don't know, you may be able to tell the story better than I, because I wasn't there through all of it, but that I guess he decided that he was going to call me Mommy S.
Well, yeah.
Or Mommy D or something.
Sat him down and said, listen, we need to have a conversation. We really need to talk about what we're going to call Daddy, because it's starting to make Daddy uncomfortable when we're out in public, because the word daddy was made for men, for boys, and Daddy doesn't feel like a boy anymore. Daddy feels like a girl, and so it can be very uncomfortable for her, so we really need to pick a name. So that was kind of how that conversation went, and he's been very adamant that he likes the name Pickle.
Oh.
So that was his, you know, he wanted to call Daddy Pickle, and I said, no, I don't. That's
still very manly.
Yeah. Kind of, Pickles maybe might be more feminine, but.
I eat maybe a jar and a half of dill pickles each week.
Yeah. So that was.
So there's that.
So I said, well, you know, what about if you call Daddy, can, you know, what do you want to call her? And he didn't really know. He just was having a hard time with it. I said, you can call Daddy Sarah. You can call Daddy. What if you call both of us Mommy? And he got really upset, like visibly, like it bothered him to think of that. And I was like, whoa, 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 what's wrong? Why does that make you upset? Well, because I don't want you to get confused. What if you think I'm talking to you and I'm not? Mm-hmm. And
it can be confusing.
He's very thoughtful like that. Like that was a very big thing for him. Like he didn't want us to get each other confused. So then I said, oh, well, you can call her Mommy D, and D can be code for Daddy, and nobody will know. Hmm. And then he goes, how about Mommy S? And that was it.
Yeah.
Done. Sarah. Yeah.
For Sarah.
And so we've been spending the weekend sort of reminding and working on that, because it's like literally to this weekend it is a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super fresh.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at on the transition.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
I don't know.
So Michael's here. Let's jump to Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
Here I am. Somewhere.
So I want to start with.
Yeah.
I want to
start at the beginning.
I want to start with
the beginning.
It's always a good place to
start. So we're all about storytelling here, and as we've talked many times, one of the things that we try to do is to tell our stories, to help other people, to be self-accepting or accepting of others and all of that kind of stuff. So I think there is an interesting story the first time we met.
The
first time I came into the salon.
Okay.
The old salon.
I'm a hairdresser.
And sat down in Michael's chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a
prerequisite of this the conversation. You're a hairdresser.
Yes, I am a hairdresser.
How long have you been a hairdresser, Michael?
14 years.
Mm.
Long time.
Why did you become a hairdresser, Michael?
This is
the interview
beginning.
Yeah.
Hairdresser. I didn't choose it. I think it chose me. I didn't. One day just wake up and say, I'm going to be a hairdresser. I think I was just born this way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a song.
Gaga.
Something about a sports thing.
Totally makes sense.
I don't really know the
right
sports
now.
Things, but.
No, I just saw Gaga and that was all I saw.
Yeah.
I know the team that won.
I don't even know that.
The Patriots?
Did they really win?
Yeah, they won. They won. They were 0-28.
Was there a problem?
And came back. It's the largest comeback.
Were the balls over or under inflated this time?
Did they check the balls?
Did Tom Brady have balls?
There's lots of balls everywhere.
Did they put his balls in a jar? My mom is a huge Patriots fan, so
yeah,
I like to rip on them.
They definitely won, though. They came back from 0 all the way to pass whatever.
I heard it went into overtime.
It did, and that's where they won.
Crazy. Wow.
But I don't really care about sports. No. Taco was the best part of the whole show.
Okay, so you were born a hairdresser.
Right.
Back on track.
Yeah, yes. I don't know where it came from. I just knew that I don't remember a part where it started or just it was what it is. But yeah, no, that's it.
Cool. Did you flounder with other possible?
Did you do any crazy odd jobs as a teenager?
Yeah. Well, I definitely the things I like to do are all in the same kind of. Not in a field, but just creative. I love photography. Mm-hmm. I love editing and stuff like that. I also love dance. I love music, which is all very expressive, all in different ways. You know, you're performing, you're taking photos. That's another way of showing characters and all kinds of stuff. And hair is the same way, designing. So those were the three things that I really wanted. And I was always a bigger boy, so I said, I don't think I'm ever going to make it on the stage without being able to huff and puff and fall over. It's okay in your room for one song.
Right. Nobody can see you.
No one can see you. You're sweating and you're out of breath and you're thank you, everybody. Good night. and photography, I would get lost in hours. I would wake up, I would look at the clock and I'd be like, oh my God, I've been on this one photo for 3 hours. And I'm sitting here, I'm all cramped up and I'm frustrated because I just hit the undo button and I didn't realize the undo button took everything away. And I'm all like, I'm done, shut it down. And then I'm all like, no, but I really wanted to do that. So hair is good. Hair doesn't have an undo button.
You fuck that up, it's fucked up.
Hey, but it grows back.
Right. It grows back.
And that's a conversation
a lizard's tail.
That I know that we had early on, that my mother was a beautician all of her life.
Yeah.
And that can either create the best client ever or the monster client, right? Yeah. Clientzilla. Where you can't do anything right because my mother was perfect.
Oh yeah,
that kind of. In my case, it was.
They talk to me.
If you fuck it up, then we shave it off and start over. Whatever, no big deal. Yeah. My mother experimented on my hair a lot.
We don't want to experiment on your hair.
Not anymore. No, it's almost. It's almost there.
We'll fuck it up now.
It's now almost you're on there. If you mess it up, I'm gonna be. Zilla. Yeah.
We're finally at the point where we don't need the wigs anymore.
Right. Thank God.
Oh, that was...
I don't miss that.
That was horrible.
Those days. That was bad.
You have
talk
great
about
hair.
Sweating.
Great hair. Oh, wigs, sweat. I can't do... I can't do wigs. I can't do makeup. If I go to the club, I'll do a little bit of white in the corners of my eyes just to brighten it up.
Right.
But I can't. I have to wipe my face. I need to be able to touch my face.
If I touch my face and something comes off, we're in trouble. That's why I don't hate makeup. Maybe once a year I'll put makeup on.
Angie at the salon keeps on telling me, are you going to transition? I'm like, what do you mean?
What?
I'm gay. Yeah. I'm not switching over to be a woman. I think you got it confused.
But has she seen the new CoverGirl and the, what's the other one? Maybelline? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's a movement going on with,
the male. Yeah.
She thinks I'm going to come in with
models,
boobs and a wig someday.
Do you think that that's just a lack of
education and understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she thinks that once you become gay, at some point you end up...
You have to be feminine.
Feminine. Mm-hmm. You have to have a dress on and hair.
Which is totally crazy because I know some really, really gay men that are just you wouldn't even know if you didn't know them.
But that's a common stereotype. That's common.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think.
When you're not educated about...
Right.
Being she's very church going, and so I'm pretty sure a lot of it was as pretty as a child. If you're doing that, you're told this is what
this
happens.
Is bad.
They dress up and do all kinds of funny stuff. I said maybe when we have a few drinks, we might put ladies' underwear on. But
but that's I think that's an important conversation to sidetrack into.
Yeah,
that. It comes from a place of misogyny. When you start digging into what's the word I'm looking for?
So many
the gay stereotype, right?
So many different
that
tunnels.
Comes from a lot of times this idea that the emasculation of men, right? Yeah. That you're that the masculinity is the positive thing that we should all strive for.
Yeah.
And that's why people can't understand why anyone would want to transition male to female, because masculinity is so lifted up in our society. It's the power,
especially
it's the
now,
control.
Rights.
The, yeah.
Well, and there's such a double standard on that too, because you have on that side, but then if you have a woman who's a little tomboyish, oh, she's just a tomboy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even go there. You don't even think, oh, she must be a lesbian. Most people don't. They just think, oh, she's a tomboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the opposite.
Right.
Right. Any little boy who shows any kind of...
Must be gay.
Yeah. Must be gay.
Must be gay. Yeah. Oh, God forbid. You walk...
Yeah.
You so walk dumb. By and he puts his hand up like a little, you know, up. That's gay. No, he's a kid.
Right?
He's a child. He
hasn't even hit puberty yet.
He's a human being.
Right. And that's the point. And so what if he fucking is?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
So what?
Well, my mom, I remember when our son was very little, like, because we worked in Orlando.
Your family's very religious, right?
Very religious. But we worked and lived in Orlando, and all of our friends are in Orlando and work for Disney and Universal, and they're in the entertainment industry. And she said to me, can you just keep him away from all of your gay friends for a few years? Like, she thought it was catchy.
Right.
Oh, catchy.
Right. Contagious.
He's gonna catch it.
And I'm like,
you don't catch gay.
Like, no. But people believe that. Like, they are so ignorant.
You catch a cold. Oh. There's a whole bunch of other stuff you can catch.
You can, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And especially in that community.
In that community.
Yes.
Anyway.
So. Where were we?
We were talking about hair, and we end up with sex every time or something.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how this episode's going to be today, guys. Mm-hmm. Everything is going to always devolve to sex.
It's, okay.
So. The first time I walked into, let's get back to that story. Yeah, the first time I walk into the salon.
Hold on. Dun, dun, dun. I was 20, probably 20.
2011, maybe?
21 years old, maybe 22, right? No? 23? I don't know.
What? The first time you walked into a salon?
No,
the
time first time he walked in.
I came in.
I'm 33 now.
Okay. Well, no, I can give you the year. I'm sure because it was right after we bought our first house.
Yep.
So it was either 2011, because it was after our son was born.
Uh-huh.
So it had to be 2011.
Yeah, because I started 2007, March 1st, 2007.
Okay.
I went to that salon.
Okay.
That we met.
There you go.
So
I walk in.
There you are.
There I am, and I have on maybe the. I don't
you
know, it's brighter like than the color of your hair.
Yeah, but you were like wearing a, you gotta do the whole thing. You were still presenting as male.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I was still living life as a guy.
A t-shirt and jeans or jean shorts or cargo shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
With flip-flops and.
Yeah, and his nails were painted.
Neon pink.
Pink nail polish.
Glittery, yes. Glittery
and
pink
little,
toenail polish.
I don't know if you at that point you had a little clutch. You had your, where you keep all your credit cards.
Yeah, it might have been the Jeep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little small Jeep
like
purse
little,
or something.
At that point.
Like, did you see his nails? Everybody's like, did you see his nails? I'm all like,
and?
Well, and there's more to that because you went and you got your stuff done and then you made an appointment for me to come back later because you had to come back and get your eyebrows done.
Oh, that's right.
So then I came back and Michael's cutting my hair and you're getting your eyebrows done.
Yeah.
And he's asking me, like, so did he paint his toenails himself? And, and I just remember it being the most awkward conversation because I'm like, oh, shit. This can go both ways.
Yeah.
This can be a really good experience or I could never come back to the salon ever.
Right. But it turned into a really great educational a moment, opportunity that we've grown together.
I was very hidden about my sexuality then. And
yes.
People were like, you're gay. I'm like, no, well, I'm not.
And I have to say, like, from then to now, what has been 7 years,
mm-hmm.
something or six
something
years,
like that.
Something like that. Just to watch you and the way that you've changed,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing for me because you were very awkward, even though I could tell you loved what you were doing.
Yeah.
I could tell. I could also tell you were very. You were
back.
Not who you are now.
Right. No, and, I'm and totally different.
The transition to see you become who you are now, and
I didn't know who I was.
And see you, you're like authentic now. And yeah. It's just amazing to actually be able to experience seeing that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm lucky I get to see it.
Yeah.
I could two times.
So but, talk about that. Talk about like little Michael growing up. Like what? Because I'm interested to know what was it about. I don't know your experiences leading up to this point that kept you withdrawn or
well,
that you just hadn't figured it out.
As a kid, you're scared to kind of just tell people things because mm-hmm. you feel like you can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like as a kid, like people said, you know, kids in the sixth grade be like, you're gay. I'm like, what the heck does that even freaking mean?
Right. Can we stop using that as
I'm
a
like,
derogatory?
What the heck does that mean? I don't know what that means. Like, so
right.
here, half my life, people are trying to call me gay, and I'm all like, what's that mean? Mm-hmm. Here I am looking at porno magazines in my dad's bottom drawer.
Right.
He's sneaking his porn and trying to put it back right at the same moment. You know, I'm like, oh, right. I don't know. Like, but like, I don't know who I was. And then I was just trying to like escape from it because I'm like, I'm supposed to be this. This world tells me I should be this way. I should act this this way. I should talk. I should walk. I should date these kind of people. And then, like, you're like scared because then you're like, oh, I'm not normal. Like, I don't know anybody else who was gay. Like,
mm-hmm.
Of course, a young kid, 10, 11.
Did 12. You grow up here?
No, New Jersey.
Okay. Small town? Big city?
Oh, I live right by this New York in about 20 minutes in. But as a kid, you know.
Yeah,
I didn't know anybody who's gay.
When you're a kid, your horizons are very narrow. Like you're very protected by your adults.
Yeah.
So you don't get the exposure to the rest of the world as you do as an adult. So unless your parents are like, all right, buddy, get on the subway and have fun.
Yeah, and then you meet all kinds of weird people.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think we, with our children, we try to give them... A lot of information about like we have to have
knowledge is power
and exposure to different
that,
people
that maybe our parents
different
never
backgrounds.
Did
no we didn't.
Definitely
actually my
not.
Dad wouldn't even let us talk about like if I said oh god I couldn't say any sex words at all. My mom was probably a little bit more badass. She smoked a little weed and she hid it from me. But my dad was like, he didn't drink, he didn't smoke cigarettes, he didn't do any drugs. He was just like
Super straight laced.
He wasn't mean. He never hit me. He was a good dad. He came, went to work if he was sick. I mean, he was that kind of dad. Just worked whatever he had to do to get us where we had to be. But sex was not the conversation. But he had like 100 porno magazines and 100 porn movies behind his TV.
Wow.
Where I've watched most of them.
Wow.
But like, it's like that whole like, don't talk about it, but he was totally.
That's a lot. I think it's the generation that is growing up now. I think they're because of social media and internet is in your hand now.
Yeah,
you have so much more access. Like I remember when we got the internet.
We don't have choice. It's just
it
like
was like
open
oh
up
my
the-
goodness, it, you know, and there were times when we got the internet taken away because we were going to websites we shouldn't have been going to.
Oh yeah,
but now kids have it in their hands, and there's really no control. So I think kids now are just more informed.
They put little passwords. When passwords started coming out on computers, I would wait till my mom was doing the dishes, and then I'd be like, "Dad, mom, I have to go search something. Can you go and put it in?" Her be, "Really, Mikey? Right now?" And then she would type with her wet fingers, and then I would write all the numbers down. I'd write all the numbers down. I remember it was Superman. It was my dad's password. I was probably like 11.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember I'm like, "Perfect. Now I know how to get on."
That's so funny. We have a password on our computer, and every time our son wants to play. He's like, will you unlock the computer? And he tries to watch me. And he knows the first three letters of the password. But I'm like,
You're covering the keyboard. You're like trying to type other letters to be like, I'm in your backspace. Yeah, right. Level back.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit.
Kids are tricky.
For sure. So getting back, you don't, you know, as a kid, you just don't know where you are. And even then you go into being a young adult, and like here I am still scared to admit. And because then admitting that you were gay. Now you have to tell everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're thinking like, ah, now I got to deal with grandma. She's asking me today, still asking me today when I'm getting married because I just haven't told her. And so, you know, then you have to tell your dad. And then you have to tell, like, then you have to admit to all those people you said you're not gay.
Right.
They're like, you told you so. And I'm not that kind of guy who likes I told you so's.
No.
Yeah.
So, like, then you're like, this is complicated. I'm just not gay. You know? So, you know. And then I finally said to myself, and I said, yes. I'm like, God, I'm not happy. Here I am hiding behind, you know, even scared to put on a V-neck shirt because I feel like a V-neck shirt's going to make me feel feminine and, you know, very European, very feminine looking. To put making sure that my cell phone case doesn't have any sparkles or it's just super plain because then everybody's going to be like, oh, that's gay, you know? And I'm all like, so I let it absolutely control my life to just my phone case, what it's looks like.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, so, which is very sick if you think about it. You're like, oh my God, here I am jumping over and leaping over all kinds of crazy stuff when I could have the cutest little sparkle phone case that I ever want. Yeah. So now it's like, to be like, I don't care. People are like, before they even ask me, I'm all like, I'm gay. Let's get it out of the way. Like, I like guys. I don't know why it matters, but.
Was there a defining moment when, like, you know, you're going through all this and you're suppressing everything. Was there like a straw that broke the camel's back where you just kind of went, I've had enough. I just need to be who I am.
Yeah, that was 2016. 2016, I said, I'm running. I'm exhausted and I haven't lost any weight from running for myself. And I said, I'm going to, you know, because I was going to gay clubs alone. Mm-hmm. Trying to find someone to pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't feel good about myself. You know, I was 300 pounds and I just felt like everybody else there was like a stick figure, had muscles, worked out. Gays are can be very, very like clean cut and all kinds, especially just like these young ones are all built. And I'm like, oh my God, no one's looking at me. So here I am alone, going alone, leaving alone. It can be very depressing. And here I am like talking to myself as I'm walking out of the club, like, why do I even do this? Like, here I am, I'm not even honest with anybody around me. And here I am trying to find someone to love me. I finally said, that's enough. I don't like who I am. I'm not portraying who I am. How is anyone going to even pay attention to me if they don't even know who I am? So I need to have a purpose. I need to have, I need to know that I'm confident and people got to know like, oh, that guy, he knows who he is. And as soon as I did that, I went and I said, I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to lose weight. I lost.
And you did.
85 so pounds. Much. Yeah. 85 pounds.
Yeah. In like
crazy, 5 months.
That was a crazy
transition. I just like 6 hours a day of working out, hardcore, running 4 hours of those 6 hours. Walking, not just all running. And I said, phew, here I am. I saw it coming off and I was like, there you are. I was looking all over for you. And I was like, okay, this is it. I need things. You know, I've been holding back. I mean, years. Here we are. I could have been gay at 10, 12. I could have known who, I could have figured out who I was. I wasted 14 years on a straight relationship. Not only did I ruin her life, because she could have had kids by now and been married. She's my best friend. She's still my best friend. And I apologize to her all the time. And I'm like, I ruined my whole beginning because now I'm like, I could have took care of myself then. I could have been happy, you know. But now, I mean, I have to be happy now. So,
yeah. Yep.
So it can't be like, okay, I could have been, but now I have to because I'm already 33. I mean, young, but I need to enjoy my youth with being who I am.
Yeah.
Because I can grow old with somebody I love, and then not have to go to clubs and bars and stuff to feel like I'm accepted or part of something, you know?
And I will parrot something that Becca says all the time. Everything you've gone through was necessary to get you to be who you are today.
Yeah.
And that's important. You have a great kid.
Yes. Yeah. He's good. He's a pain in the neck. Well, he's a pain in the neck. But he's 15. He'll be 16 in June. And
he's supposed to be a pain in the neck. He's a teenager.
Yeah, that's his job.
He's doing lots of growing. He was very excited because the first person I actually said, I'm gay, is to him. I went and
And what was that like? Did he expect that at all?
Oh, yeah. Or? He's like, I already knew. He goes, does that mean you're going to kiss boys? I go, yes, hopefully. And he goes, well, I'm going to stick to girls. And I'm all like, you all can choose whatever you want, honey. Yeah. I'm not saying you need to follow.
Right.
But I was super scared that if I told him way too early, because to let you guys know, but yeah, they know here, but my son is adopted. I took him in. Well, I was there from when he was born. I was at the hospital. I was first person at the hospital. I took the first baby picture. So he's mine. I gave birth.
Yeah.
So I've been taking care of him full time for like 8 years or something like that. So I was scared because he copycats me to the way he takes his photos, to the way he talks, to the way he does things. Mm-hmm. I'm his, you know, his role model. So I said to myself, I don't want him to feel like he has to copycat it and be gay too. So I try to hold out and not have any relationships or do anything so that I didn't confuse him, because he was already confused because he's not with his mommy. He's not with his real daddy. They both suck. Mm-hmm. He's not with his other three siblings that he has, all younger. Mm. So he's already like thrown up in the air. And why? I mean, to throw that one in there would be total like wrench in the bicycle wheel, you know, like fall over. He might just be like, I need to be that way because this guy is awesome. He takes care of me. The reason he's awesome, it's probably because he's gay. No, it's just because I'm awesome.
Well, we know that.
So he was totally accepted. I said, I have to talk to you. And I was all like, I want to tell you before I tell anybody else, even though other people know, because they just think they know everything. And I go, I'm gay, and I want to know that I wanted you to be the first. I made sure that I made it special for him. Uh-huh. Like, I wanted you to know you are my main priority. You're the person I care about the most. You're the most important. I want to make sure that you know that me and you are on the same team. And that is that I get to make sure I tell you things so that you can turn around and make sure that I know I won't judge you and you won't judge me. And I think that was very big for us because he was all like, wow, I was the first one to know. Of course, kids are all, they want to be the first at anything, you know.
Right.
You know.
That's awesome. So I'm going to take a moment here to say hey to the Facebook peeps. And I'm getting ready to shut off the live video. So if you want to listen to us live, go to Spreaker. I put the link in this live video,
it's down
thing.
There.
So listen to us live, and then if not, then you can join us at saratalk.com after I post the thing. Let's just take a break in general because my coffee cup is empty.
And
I have a 3-minute break lined up. So let's take a quick break. We will come back. I want to talk about your mom and her influence on you in life. And
she's awesome.
And in your And so we'll talk about that. I also want to talk a little bit about the Pulse nightclub. And we also have a story to tell you about our 6-year-old's swear word. So we'll do all of that.
Ooh, swears.
I can't imagine where the fuck he learned these fucking words from, but we'll come back. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Hey, guys, let's play some video games.
This new dad plays video games with his sons. But the challenge feels like he's lifting a metric ton.
So many buttons.
His avatar just stares at the walls, twists and turns and somehow falls.
Help me.
He's tangled up in the controller's cords.
I just don't understand this crazy digital world.
Crazy, crazy digital world.
Zeros and ones.
But the love from his kids is totally apparent. See, you don't have to be perfect, to be the perfect parent.
You should have just played catch.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy. And that's why I listen to podcasts, and it's probably why you listen to podcasts too. And that's why I use Audible, and I know you're going to love it too. I love to read, but I also have two rowdy kids and a crazy third shift job and putting together material for the show, and that just doesn't leave a lot of free time to read like I used to. Now I can listen to an audiobook in the shower, on the drive to work, and don't tell my boss, sometimes even at work. These are the popular books you've been wanting to read. Titles from the New York Times bestseller list, the Oprah Book Club, authors like John Grisham, J.K. Rowling, Carrie Fisher's The Princess Diarist. Here's one I know you'll want to hear. A gray totalitarian world dominated by Big Brother and its vast network of agents, including the Thought Police. A world in which news is manufactured according to the authorities' will and people live tepid lives by rote. Sound familiar? George Orwell's 1984 has found new meaning in the Trump era, and yes, it's available right now at Audible. Audible has over 180,000 titles in every genre, classics, biographies, science fiction, romance, mysteries, you name it. As a Sarah Talk listener, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. What free book will you choose? Orwell's 1984? The Harry Potter series? Here's my suggestion. Many of you listen to this podcast for our criticism of religion and outspoken atheism. Start with God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by the late Christopher Hitchens. Then send me an email. Let me know what you think. Take advantage of this special promotion, a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial. Go to audibletrial.com/Saratalk and download your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/Saratalk. Welcome back to Saratalk, episode 41. We are live on Spreaker, and we're in the studio today with Michael Kaplan, who is a... let's turn your microphone back on. Is a... do you prefer hairdresser or stylist? What's
hair master.
What, ooh, don't, oh, God. I don't know that dun, I would dun, say dun, that. Dun.
Well,
is there a preference? Does it matter?
What's the French word for... Like, you gotta make it sound jazzy.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's
no, that's a little much.
That's a little different.
Wrong one.
All right. So, first, I want to tell you a story about a fan. I have a fan.
You have a fan.
Sort of a fan.
I have fans.
I have one fan. There's two people listening to the show, I think, today while we're live, maybe. And I have one fan. So really anything you say really doesn't matter. Nobody listens to this. So
that's not true.
We do have two, not true.
We have two patrons who actually pay for episodes.
Yeah, that's right. So there you go. And that affords us to buy the stuff that we need to make the show better.
So thank you, patrons.
We appreciate you.
Absolutely. So I go almost weekly, sometimes every other week, to electrolysis.
Is that for hair?
Yeah,
that-
for hair removal. Yeah. So and I'll step back a moment to kind of describe that. So every 6 weeks I go for laser, and laser is the, it covers a larger area and it's not invasive. It's a flash of light, and it feels like somebody taking a rubber band and snapping it against your skin over and over again.
Snap,
pretty hard. It hurts, but it's, so there's like a cooling gel that it shoots off into your skin and then it hits the laser.
Okay.
And it just feels like a, snap.
Like someone's flicking you.
Yeah, like somebody's bands. Flicking you.
Show me. Do not need.
Right. So that's
you
a.
Said how hard I.
So for my face, that's like a 15-minute thing. Like it just, you know, I go in and pop, 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 and it's done.
Yeah.
And I do that every 6 weeks because the hair has to be in a certain part of the growth cycle for it to be effective.
Oh, yeah. And hair grows at different points in time. So exactly. Just because the hair that you cut off today is not the same There's hair you're going to cut off underneath. Next week.
Right. Mm-hmm. So to get the full effect, I have to also go to electrolysis. And so in between those 6 weeks, we do electrolysis. Mm-hmm. And electrolysis is the one where they actually stick the needle into your skin, follicle by follicle, and kill the hair with electricity. That's fun. And I sit and do that for an hour.
Well, you know, that is fun because you love getting your eyebrows waxed.
I do. I kind of enjoy the pain a little bit.
Yeah.
Dun, dun. So.
That's a whole nother topic.
That's it.
Yeah. But anyway.
Next week.
So, every week I sit in the chair and we talk about life, and it's very much like going to the salon. You know, it's a there's a relationship building thing that happens while we're doing this.
You need to have a relationship. You, it makes you feel more, especially to change
more personable.
Steve.
Yeah.
Right. And so Kayla is my electrologist, and we were talking about, I was telling her about episode 40 where we talked to Danica, who's running for the House of Delegates in Virginia. And so it's always like a, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and talk about the show and what we're doing. And I'm like, oh, and this next week, I'm like, you've got to listen to this, because Michael's going to be in the studio. And I didn't say Michael. I said my hairstylist. I said my stylist is coming on the show. And she's like, really? She's a Southern gal. She says, really? And I said, yeah. And it's going to be awesome, because he's one of these people that, you know, that tried to fit into the wrong box for so many years, and then found
so
himself
small.
And finally came out, and he's living the life that he of his truth now, and so it's going to be such a really, really great show. And I said, and she says, you're a stylist. And I said something about, yeah, I started going to him when he was here closer to us, and I told the story about I neon nail polish when I went in, and and I said, and then the fucker closed his, moved to a different store. Salon, opened a new store, a new salon, and it's farther away. It's in Celebration on Punk. And she's like, wait a minute.
She knows me.
Are you talking about Michael?
Does she have like purple hair? Does she have like multicolored hair?
No.
No?
No. And I was like, yeah, I'm talking about Michael. And she's like, I used to go to Gretchen. And I was like, oh shit, let's not talk about that. Salon drama. New salon drama.
Yeah. I know. She owns her own electrolysis, right?
I
don't know if she owns it or not, but she's part of the.
But yeah, she's come to Gretchen, and Gretchen used to do like purples and reds, and she's always wearing these really nice high heel shoes. If you, I don't know if you ever check her shoes out, but she usually has really pretty. That's why I said Kayla. She don't go to Gretchen anymore. Oh, I don't know if she's still going to Gretchen secretly.
No.
I don't know.
But anyway, she was excited.
She knew you.
She knew you, and she, yeah.
And she said something else. She said, oh, yeah.
Anything nice?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it was a good, it wasn't, oh, my God, Michael.
Oh, my God, that guy?
She was just like, I think I know him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's tell the story about, see, the reason I said our kid's name live on the air is because I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And so I was just reading. Let's, before we get back into the story of Michael, let's talk about our kid, telling another kid to, what do you say? Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
6 years old.
Shut the fuck up.
I know, right? That's
yes,
what I was.
Exactly.
That works for this, but I don't know if that works for that.
There's context.
It was Friday afternoon. My phone rings. It's about 3:00. School gets out at 3:30. Oh, my phone rings and it's a school number, and I haven't gotten a call from the school in a really long time.
Well, I get those weekly, honey.
I used to.
This is what we have to look forward to. Great.
So the phone rings, I answer it, and it's the assistant principal. Hi, Becca. Just wanted to let you know that I have your son in the office. I'm not going to suspend him, even though this is a ground for suspension.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to send him home and keep him out of recess for a few days. I'm like, okay, what did he do? He got in an altercation with another boy in his class and told him to shut the F up.
Nice. That a boy.
And again, I can't fucking figure out where he would have learned some terrible fucking language like that.
Well, so I think I might have said that under my breath.
Probably.
Probably. Oh, anyway, so It was the other kid's birthday.
Oh my God. He told Mitch to fuck up on his birthday?
Yes. Yeah.
He deserved it, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he.
Yeah, there's some stuff there's going some on with this kid,
there
too.
There's stuff going on with this kid, but that's still no excuse.
You don't say.
So,
no, you can't.
Shut the F up.
So he came home and we had to have a discussion with him about the F word. And we have a rule in our house with him that you don't use a word if you don't know what it means.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So I said to him, buddy, what happened to our rule? You're not supposed to. Do you know what that word means?
No.
No. Well, then you're not supposed to use it. Well, what does it mean? Fuck.
So then I said, no. Let's sit down and explain it to him.
Oh my God. Explain to me how you explain it to him.
Right?
I can't wait to hear
this
it.
This is what I was thinking that when she said that. I'm like, fuck.
Like, what
oh
are we
going
to say?
We're taking photos out. We're Googling pictures of fuck.
No.
So I started with, that's another, what was it? That's another word for sex. Do you know what sex is? No. And I said, well, sex is something that you can do with your penis.
Oh.
What do you do with your penis? And we go pee. Well, sex right? is something else that you can do with your penis, but it's not something that six-year-olds should be doing with their penis.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you shouldn't be using that word either. Yeah. And you shouldn't be telling somebody else to go do that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it kind of started with, do you understand where babies come from? Yeah, from the belly. Okay, yeah. We're going to need to get a little bit more detailed
here. I think I might
here.
Have blacked that part out.
You did.
I don't remember
you
that.
Did. Cause, so I said no. I said, and I'm tiptoeing around the language that I was using too, because coming from my community, I don't want to say when a boy and a girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there are girls who have penis,
right.
And there are trans men who have vaginas. Right. So I tried to like... You need a penis and a vagina to have a baby.
And he doesn't really
understand.
You just
need a penis and a hole.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other part
and
of it.
He doesn't understand
really
how
know.
It works,
well,
the
he
mechanics.
Doesn't, he doesn't know what a vagina is. Oh. The only thing he knows
it's awful.
Is that mommy doesn't have a penis.
It's awful. His, don't go near it.
And
it bites. It's a movie called Teeth. Jesus. Look it up. It's awful. You can YouTube. They have it.
Oh, my God.
But like the only thing he comprehends about the lack of penis is that mommy doesn't have one because I wasn't born one with
well,
one.
And I think we may have described during a diaper change of his sister.
Right. And the baby, like he has a sister yeah,
right.
who doesn't have a penis. So.
No, she doesn't have a penis.
But he's still like he's every now and then he'll say something like because she's. You open her diaper to change her and she automatically just grabs herself. Like that's just.
Ah, most kids do.
They... Right. But he saw that once and said, oh, she's trying to grab her penis.
That a girl.
Yeah.
And it's so it's like, she
not
doesn't
exactly.
have a penis.
Right.
So like he understands that, but he the other part of it, because he doesn't have that equipment, he just can't.
That's funny. She's trying to grab her penis.
Yeah.
Her imaginary penis. Well, girls, do you know, they have a larger penis than us anyways.
Yeah.
There's one inside.
So, we had to describe basically what sex was to describe when you use the word fuck.
Yeah.
One, and that's one meaning of the word, right? There are others, and we had to have that conversation too, right? So it can also just be an angry word that you use when you're mad and frustrated.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is probably where he heard it, because we asked him that too.
Right.
Have you heard that word? And he went like this. We were sitting on either side of him, and he just pointed his fingers both ways at both of us. And we just looked at each other with that guilt.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Fuck.
All right, so that was fun.
That's hilarious.
Our kid's swear word.
What you get into when you're trying to explain things to children and trying to do it the right way.
Like, I did not expect him to say, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Really didn't.
You're like,
oh, you talked yourself into that corner.
And
you really did.
And then I was so mad at myself. So I was like, damn
right.
it.
Right.
That's hilarious.
You have a new dog.
I do. She's in her little carrying cage. She is 2 pounds, 25 ounces. 10 ounces.
Okay.
She is 9 weeks old this last Friday. And her name is Luna. She is black Pomeranian.
Luna. She's a sweetheart.
So
she is
cute.
Super cute. She's sleeping. She don't bother nobody.
One of our other co-hosts that goes back to the beginning of the show, Mandy, with the very first couple of episodes we had were in her apartment.
With her dogs.
With her dogs. So this is like bringing back the all the memories.
Like a little puppy at the feet.
So even though there's no memories being made because she's sleeping in her carrying cage.
She's dreaming.
Right. She's dreaming of a white Christmas.
She's soothed by your voice so she can go right to sleep.
Yeah,
so
she
just
is.
Keep talking.
Okay, so let's talk about the Pulse nightclub first. So you mentioned earlier while you were in the process of figuring yourself out, you were going to gay clubs and almost in a, and again, not putting words in your mouth, but almost kind of in secret where, you know, you were not out to really anybody yet, but this is, you were going here to try to kind of figure yourself out and, and meet people. Talk about just the, that experience in the clubs and then Pulse specifically,
if you want.
I remember, I remember there was a post right after all of that that I think we all kind of went.
Because I was at the game in Orlando, the football game, and it was late, and my friends were like, "Oh, come back to our house," and I said, "I'm just tired. I want to go home," but really, I wanted to go to Pulse because I wanted to find. It was Latin night. It was Latin night, ladies and gentlemen. And
as we've recently learned, you
like
seem
Latin.
To have an affinity.
So I you know, like I always do, I go to the clubs. I either go to Parliament House or all the local Orlando gay bars. And I go alone and I leave alone, which is, can be very,
discouraging.
Like, oh my God, everybody here is so freaking happy. You know, at the same time, before I lost all my weight, I couldn't drink because the sugar in an alcohol would make me, with the slightest lick of the glass, I would automatically vomit.
Oh my goodness.
And I think it was diabetes. There's a very different kind of sugar in alcohol, very strong, that would just make me throw up. I can literally lick the glass and I would throw up. My body would try to throw up. There would be no throw up there.
Wow.
So remember, I didn't drink. So trying to mingle with gay drunks and trying to find someone to chat with is sometimes awkward because you're not drinking.
Right.
People are drunk, and that you almost make them feel more awkward because you're not drinking. They are like, "What is he? He doesn't drink. What do you think? He's better than us?" Or whatever. I get all kinds of crazy stuff.
And when you're sober, when you're completely sober, you haven't lost any inhibitions.
Yeah.
So you're even more aware of your current situation. So.
Yeah. So I would, leave alone all the time. It would be very. I'd be like, I'm done. I'm never going out again. This is ridiculous. Why I go out if I just walk around? Here I am. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I could be sleeping.
Fighting with yourself.
I'm fighting with myself. And that night, I went to the game. I convinced my friends I was going home. But I just went right down the street to Pulse, which I loved. One of the first clubs I went to when I first got down here, I got invited by a friend and her boyfriend years ago. First gay club I think I ever went to. That was the night of the shooting of the Pulse. Thank God I left about an hour and a half before it happened, but I'm pretty sure he was in the club at the time I was in there because they said he was there.
No.
Just hanging about. So it was super nuts. And I said to myself, at that point, I probably lost like 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I was somewhat through my, maybe 30, maybe, I don't know, somewhere through my diet. And I said, holy mackerel, one, I didn't get to my full weight. No one's going to see how gorgeous I could have been.
Stop it right there. You're gorgeous. Just stop it.
No, I'm not. And two, I didn't even come out and I could have died.
Yeah.
Here I am going to be found out that I'm gay by my whole family.
Because you died.
Because you, yeah.
Oh, God.
At a gay club. And I'm not even exactly who I wanted to be yet. So that's what really, one of the really things that really woke me up and said, be you right now, because you might not be you tomorrow. And if you're going to die not showing people who you really are, you didn't live at all.
Yeah.
So I said, like I said, as soon as someone, before they even ask me if I'm gay, I'm like, I tell them immediately, because I feel like I need to be honest with myself. Because of so many people I said no to. No, right. No, I'm not. Now I want to be, yes, I am. It doesn't change me who I am. It just tells you that I'm being honest with myself. And I hate the whole like gay or lesbian, like I'm gay, yeah, whatever. But we're human. Like it makes me feel, yeah, right now, it makes me feel like, the word makes me feel like, saying it makes me feel like I'm being honest to myself. Mm-hmm. I might not use the word later, or I hate to have like stereotype like gay.
What's a label?
A label. Yeah. I hate those labels.
Yeah.
I just want to be
person.
Like when they come in and say at the salon, I want that lady over there. All they can say is, the black lady in the salon.
Right.
Like,
right?
That's, yeah, so like, you couldn't have said anything else, like the short lady, the shorter woman, mm-hmm, or the lady in the second chair. Like, you know what chair you were in.
Right.
Like, so like, oh, I want the gay guy in the front.
Right.
You know, like there's a label. You people make it easy, try to make it easy for themselves, and they're lazy to try to explain who they want. Mm-hmm. So they just say the first thing that comes to mind, the gay person, the straight person, right, the black person, the, you know, mm-hmm, labels try to give somebody. So, like I said, I was there and I was all like, the night was, it was weird because I went there. They have valet parking, mm-hmm, right? And it pulls you right up to the front of the thing. So I always use it. And they're super nice, and they're working hard. So, you know, you give them a couple dollars tip. They don't even charge for that. I walked in, and I just walked around, and it seemed... My body usually tells me where I need to be and where I don't need to be. I walked in, and I kind of felt like the whole place almost had... You know, sometimes you watch those movies or television shows, and you're at the club, and all you can hear is, like, the music, mm-hmm, and you can't hear anything else. It's just, like, that fuzzy sound. Mm-hmm. I walked in, and it was almost like everything was blurry. And all I could hear was the music pumping, and I kind of felt like... Almost like, you know what the movies where they're... Someone's either intoxicated or on, right, drugs, and all of a sudden, it's just...
It's kind of an underwater
feeling. Underwater kind, yep, of feeling. Thank you. And I walked around. I didn't see one person in there that I even recognized. Because, you know, gays, they'll kiss each other if they know you, or, you know, kiss on the cheek. Right. They're very, like, they want to get to know you like that. You know, the kisses. They make them, mm-hmm, whatever. So I didn't see one person that I knew. And I just walked around, and I felt so lost and so lonely that I took a circle of the whole club, and I went right back to the car. And the guy didn't even put my car in valet parking yet. Wow. And he goes, I didn't even put your car yet. What are you doing? I was like, I don't know. I just don't feel it. I don't feel it. I need to go home. So I gave him a tip still because I, you know, yeah, he turned off my car. And I left. And then, boom, text messages,
yeah,
all night long. Like, where are you? And I was all like, thank God I was not there, wow, at that time.
Yeah.
Very devastating. And when after I found out all the people who got, you know, hurt there, I knew a lot of the faces, but my body didn't allow me to see any of them. I didn't see anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, the club is packed, so it's kind of sometimes hard, but yeah, Pulse was a little small.
Right.
But I knew at least three people that were, you know, that passed away, but I didn't see them there.
Wow.
I didn't see them there. So it was kind of like my body maybe not recognizing anybody to kind of like allow me to leave.
Right.
Because if I would have seen somebody, I knew.
Like, oh, hey.
I would have right, hang out with their friends and then, mm-hmm, their friends, you know. So, which was a blessing, wow, that I left. Painful for all the people that I had to, you know,
yeah,
endure all that stuff. It's very devastating for families and stuff. But thank goodness that I left, and yeah, I didn't find anybody that night. That was the night I was like, thank God I didn't come or leave with anyone.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. If that didn't successfully bring you all down, let's pull it back up. Let's talk about your mom.
Oh,
tell me about your mom.
My mom is downer. She's been passed away for... since 2008, right before, mm-hmm, Obama became president.
I missed
Whitney
guy.
Houston dying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was a devastating year. Michael Jackson. She didn't get to see any of those things happen.
Right.
My mom was, is amazing. She, I've been special ed my whole life on the short bus. I had the kids with the helmets.
Did you lick the windows?
No,
no,
okay. No, I wasn't that.
It's a bad joke.
Yeah.
But no, she never let me believe that I had any disabilities or feel like I needed to fit into a box where I was special ed, but I didn't need to act or I need to work in that kind of order. Just because I learn differently doesn't mean I'm stupid.
Yes.
And lots of parents treat their kids who have disabilities as they're stupid. And they're not. They're actually sometimes smarter. They just don't know how to express or they do things in different ways. I see it lots of time. A lot of my clients, I do lots of kids who are special needs and they don't allow them to do anything on their own, which is really not benefiting them at all. It might be a little harder to let them to guide them there, but at the end you get a stronger child that knows how to be a little bit more independent. Which she made sure that she definitely let me know. She would place me in front of the mirror as a kid and tell me to love myself. Here I am. I'm a hairstylist. I see myself in the mirror every day.
Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me to take a minute and be like, I love you, dude. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But super awesome mom. Did everything she possibly can. Fight. She would always end up in the spot she knew I was going to be, where I knew I wasn't supposed to be. And she was the one honking in the background, calling on the phone, being like, turn around. And I'd be like, I'm scared.
Where the hell are you?
Super chill. She allowed us to drink in the house if she knew that I was going to do it anywhere else. Mm-hmm. She would, as a kid, she would be like, if you guys are going to do this somewhere else, I'd rather you be here.
Wow.
Which is great because I had a very open relationship with my mom. She would always say like, if you have sex, wear condoms. Mm-hmm. And my dad would be like, don't talk about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we have to.
Doesn't happen.
Sidebar.
It's not get real. It. Just because my mom wasn't giving him any.
Wow. Well, you know. You have to talk about sex with your kids.
Yeah, but.
We have to talk about sex. You don't have to talk about sex with your kids.
No.
Oh, you have to talk to your kids about sex.
That's talk what about I meant. Sex, baby.
Oh my gosh.
So,
the way the words get twisted.
But especially in the gay community, right? So we talk a lot about protection and the you know, we're kind of coming down from the pandemic that was the AIDS explosion, but it's still a very real thing.
Oh, it's happening, and people don't even know sometimes.
Terrifying.
They have it for years, and then they're all like,
what?
They're out of their whore years, you know? Because here we are, gay, in fake women relationships, or vice versa, women in men relationship. And then the first thing we want to do is jump on the horse and ride it through the sunset. And then we realize that everything that we were just fighting to become and hiding from, now you're gonna be very sick for a very long time die.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Then if that doesn't turn you around and say, I should have stayed straight.
Stayed straight.
It's all about...
With that sentence, now you leave the perception that there's
that you ever were straight. Yeah.
Well, that's...
But it's a mindset.
It's a mind thing. Yeah. You're like, here I was, fine, in my fake, but not okay, in my fake relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And here you go and turn around. I become who I think I'm going to be. But then you didn't do it right.
Right.
You should have wrapped it up.
More careful, yeah.
You know, just like you would with a woman, so you don't get her pregnant, and then she keeps you around, and then you get child support. you got to make sure that child support turns into a disease, and now you're dating a man.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I mean, anybody. I mean, doesn't mean a man is the...
It could happen to anybody.
But just make sure that you take precautions and care about yourself. Because not only are you affecting yourself, you're actually affecting your family. Mm-hmm. Because now you're going to put stress on, you know, on your life. Here you are.
And support organizations that do outreach, that support the message of, and there's organizations right now that are doing great work on preventatives and you know, different cures even that that are, you know, that we may see yet in the next 50 to 100 years. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, no, it'd also be awesome if we can find the pill for hair loss. I would love a long lush. I'm a hairdresser. I need a long, luscious mane.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was like 12, I could totally shake my hair around.
That's amazing.
Well, the pills that I take for my transition, they tell you will prevent the hairline from receding.
Yeah. Your hair is much thicker than it was when.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It'll give you a little something else, but it'll give you the hair too.
Oh, well, you know, I just lost all my weight, so I don't want any boobies. Mm-hmm. But the hair thing is looking real good right now.
Folic acid and...
I don't supposedly, know about all that.
But whoever's going to come out that pill is going to be
rich
as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about divisions in the LGBT community.
Divisions.
So I've always thought it was interesting that we can't just, you know, be one big happy family, and that there are still people out there who kind of fight against the idea that once upon a time, I was going to create a, and I still may do it, I don't know, I was going to create a, like maybe a nonprofit or a side thing that was called Unite the Rainbow. And we've got the website and we've started some design work. But the idea was that I saw this graphic that went viral, and it basically went through, like, the gay man says to the straight man, the straight person says to the gay person, and then, you know, the gay person says to the trans person, and then the trans person says to the non-binary person, and then the rest of the world looks at us and goes, you guys aren't a community at all, you know. So I thought, what do we do to come back together? Because, you know, there's a fear in the trans community that once marriage equality happened, the global community, there was some fear there that the gay community, that the LGB side of things would go, all right, we got what we needed. See you guys. We're good now. And then leave trans people fighting for, you know, our identities and ability to live freely and use the restrooms that we identify with and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen that happening. But I still think individually, when you talk to some people, there are still those divisions, mm-hmm. right? So the idea that we separate gay by sex,
yeah,
right? So the idea that lesbians once upon a time saw the promiscuity of the gay male culture and said, we don't want to be identified with that. That's not something that we want as, you know, what people see us, the specifically that promiscuousness. And so they made up their own word to be separate, to be different. And that's fine. Yet we still have to work together and, you know, fight the fights for each other. And there was a movement that didn't really take off that I hope still does, that wants to wipe out the acronym LGBT because now it's LGBTQIA plus whatever. Like we just keep adding letters on the end. Can we just be queer?
Yeah.
So the idea was if we take back the word queer as a positive in the way maybe the black community took back the N-word.
Yeah.
Right, that words have been reclaimed by cultures in the past, and so let's take that word back and wrinkle our candy wrappers. And so let's take that word, you know, and maybe it's not queer. I don't know what the word is. I don't care.
Pick up something.
There you go. But pick the word. I turned your mic off just in time. But you see what I'm saying is that there should be a banner that we can all fly under And
one, yeah, why would it separate?
One
by us separating, group. We're actually being divided, and I think we'll be a lot stronger. I was listening on, I think there was a YouTube or something on Facebook that said, you know, the way that we, you know, I think they were talking about the devil, whatever, and they were saying the way that he works is he separates, he gets us to fight against each other, and then we end up pairing off into separate groups, which then makes us weak.
Right.
But if we're all together as one, we become unbreakable.
Yeah.
Like when you have so many people holding you up, you can't fall. But when there's five of you and there should be 1,000, you're going to fall so quickly. So why do we have to, why does everybody feel like they have to be like recognized? Like you are recognized by one word. You know, we can all be recognized by one word.
And and I think, you know, if you're blue sky looking way into the future, right now it has to be the marginalized queer community coming together. And then once you have the straight and the queer, then we can work to merge those two. And the one label that would unite us all should be human.
Yes.
We are all human. We are all people, and we all deserve the same things. And that's the message that we've been, you know, fighting for anyways, that the message of equality, that
we all want,
deserve the freedoms. What else? What else you got on your list?
Come on, Santa. What do you have on your list?
Santa. I'm not Santa.
You got any list? Who's naughty? Who's
check it twice.
Who's naughty? Who's been nice?
Oh, talk about, well, okay, so here we go. This is, I've been teasing this episode and since we talked last and said, hey, come on the show, that you, let's talk about that when you kick the closet door open, you go nuts thing, right?
Yeah.
So in my community, when you finally start to transition and live your life often, and I'm going to, you know, broad brush stroke here and talk about male to female kind of specifically and generalize a little bit, but it's the shorty shorts and the, you know, the sequiny shirts, and it's the girliest girly glammy high heels and god awful makeup that you could you just go from 0 to 100
and
overnight.
And a lot of times they don't know how to even put it together. So you have all these things. You'll have,
but it's like
checkered puberty. And polka dots.
It is like a second puberty, just,
with a
you know,
sparkle hat.
We have to learn.
What? Choose one, bitch.
Choose one, bitch. You can't choose one, bitch. Come on.
Oh man.
Right. Yeah, so you kick open the closet door.
Here I am.
And tell me about these clubs you've been going to.
Oh,
let's talk about that.
Oh well.
Take the kids out of the room. It's gonna get naughty.
Well, we. Orlando has a club called Club Orlando, and what is it? It's like a bathhouse.
Such a unique name. It's
a bathhouse.
Okay. It's fun because you don't always have to join the party. Sometimes
you can just watch.
Watching is
all the fun.
Is all the fun because you get to see if you're into watching porn or if you're just like kinky stuff.
It's like live.
It's like live.
Right.
Here you are. You're
better than
the cameraman, right? Because the cameraman's got to be behind the camera. You get to watch or, you know, and a lot of times, especially if you have a little twink with you, which I do, you become super famous when you go to these places. Because a lot of times they're older guys or they're people who are still in the closet. And they haven't had any sexual experiences. A lot of it's all brand new, or the super kinky people who do this weekly, 3 times a week. Some people are pretty sure live there. They have rooms. You became super famous when you got a twink with you, because then everybody wants the little young boy that's coming in, because they're all in their 60s or 50s and they're...
Right.
They see young meat coming in, and they're all like, "Oh, that's why they're free."
Living out the fantasy.
Anything under the age of, like, 25 or something, they come in free or something like that. Just promote, you know, get those. But I've I've been a few times, especially with my new boyfriend, and I'll tease those boys, those men who are obviously super horny for it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get a room, and I'll just have him strip naked and just lay on the bed, and they'll come by and be like, "Can I touch?" I'm like, "No,
no.
Don't step in there." It's super. I mean, it turns me on because you have something that they want,
mm-hmm.
And especially because I was very unhappy for many years, not having anything that I feel like I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have something that I really enjoy, and people want it, and I'm like, oh, "You can have it."
Wow, that's a soundbite.
Yeah, that is. So there's a control.
Yeah, control
piece to
issue.
It. Sure. Yeah.
And you know what? Which is really weird because this is a very new experience for me. Because coming in gay and all being hidden for so many years, I was very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Very bottom. Because I was just trying to figure out who I was.
Right.
So any gay experience, I just took it. It must be who I am. I was going to take if that's what they want and I'm having a gay experience, that's at least what my body wants. You know, here we go. You know, here we go. You're getting a little piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
Take it. But now in the relationship I am, because he's very bottom, very needy, I'm like, maybe I can be more top.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm all like, I love it.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Yes, more.
And I'm like, what? This is how the other half lives?
Unleash the animal.
Right?
Yeah. So, but I think what's super beautiful is when you can be versatile and you can do anything, you really have a great relationship with mm-hmm. the ones because he'll do whatever I say and he enjoys it. Actually, I was the first one to let him top.
Mm-hmm.
He said, nobody's ever let me fuck them.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm like,
once.
I'm like, listen, this doesn't make you the boss. This does not make you the boss. I'll let you have sex. I'll let you fuck
me.
Look
at that smile.
Right, Carlos? I'll let you fuck me, but you are not the boss. He goes, does this make me the boss? I'm the boss.
Aww.
But, so having that diversity is awesome.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy having the control and mm-hmm. being like, because I am. There's always been this, even as a bottom, even in my straight relationship, yeah, I was a top, but I was really a bottom. I don't know.
I'll lay on my back and you just do whatever it is
you
do.
Yeah, yeah. So, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, ride, and that's it.
Yeah.
I've always been that supporter. So, me wearing the... I feel like wearing the pants, bringing home
not wearing the pants,
bringing home the bigger paycheck, motivated to do better and be better,
mm-hmm.
puts you into more of a control kind of thing anyways. And I like control. I like things to go the way. I kind of feel like I don't make mistakes. I make tons of mistakes. But I feel like, you know, when I do things, I kind of do it in a way that I feel like it works real good. So, you know, I got an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So him not having much of one is super hot. I'm like, when we get married, I'm like, you're going to listen like this all the time?
Well, there's almost an intersection here with BDSM, right? The idea of the trust that's required between the two people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? Yeah, because he totally...
You have to have this upfront agreement, what's okay, what's not okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Especially how to make it stop in a... You know, in
especially
appropriate
when we
way,
go to places like
your bathhouse,
there has to be an agreement between both of us that, like, if I walk away to use the restroom, you're not going to grope on somebody,
right?
Slap you silly. but understanding that we will talk about what we can and can't do, and like, I made a rule that we don't kiss any boys unless we agree to it.
Right.
Because kissing is very, very personal. It's very close.
Mm-hmm.
It's an intimate act.
So we agreed to kiss this one boy. super cute, had soft lips. I enjoyed it. But it made him feel very, very, very insecure.
Yeah.
So he's like, never do that again. No more kissing boys. Right? The boy, you know, like, right?
No.
So,
but that's good that you can have that conversation.
So, like, no more is no more.
It has to be a give and take there for it to work.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it works and works well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you can have fun experiences like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but I said, this is what I said. Is when it becomes needy, that's when it's not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it has because it's super, and he's super young and he's super just coming into his world,
mm-hmm.
you know, too. So it's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to be where it's more fun than what we're having together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, when this becomes not fun for both of us anymore, then, well, I'm the one driving, so we're not going. So.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So, but so far, so good. There was a couple times that he's like, can we go, please? Let me go. Let's go. Aww. Let's go. Come on, please. I'm like, that's not hot.
No, you're being needy right
that's
now.
That's needy.
But, yeah, but if you're not feeling it at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
You gotta.
It has to be something we both look at each other and be like, let's go to the bathhouse.
Yeah.
And then we go there. We're strong together.
Mm-hmm.
People will be like, I go in and I let them know. When they start asking them things, I speak loudly and I said, I'm the boss. If you need anything or want anything, you have to ask me. And they do. They're like, that's so hot.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, he just will do whatever you tell him to do. I'm like, especially here. It's... It makes them even more horny because they are like,
well,
oh my God, I have to ask for permission. It's all kinky right. for them, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So I find it super hot. They find it super hot. And then he's getting whatever I allow him to have. And I think that that's super hot because he's being controlled, but he's also having fun.
Right.
right.
Which
right.
is super yeah. hot.
How can you beat that?
How can you beat that? As long as it stays...
With a cane pole, bound. That's how you beat that.
Ooh, I was thinking, not too tightly.
Leather whip, with, oh, or that. Yeah.
You don't want to squeeze too tight while you're beating it. But
he wanted to go last night. We bought these new sexy underwear at Parliament House the other day. They have an underwear store, so we bought these Andrew Christian underwear. Super hot, right? He loves them. Please, can we go so I can wear them? I want to wear them there. I'm like, usually we wear no clothes there, so towel. But the underwear was super hot.
All right, so we're coming up on an hour and a half here. We'll start to kind of wind down towards the end of the episode. Let's get back to the salon.
Salon.
So together we have had kind of a transformation, right? You've been going through
2016
yours.
For both of us was
big year.
Yep. And so, so we've had that in common to talk about, you know, while we're at the salon together. And I think there is something about a salon, and we're going to have a guest coming up, but, in the next couple of weeks. That's got a program that we're going to talk about. It's called Safe in My Chair. And I know we've talked about this briefly.
Yes,
and before this month is over, you will be registered for that website.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because what it is, it's basically a group that is compiling a list of places nationwide where the salon owner or the stylist says, this is a safe place for you to go as a trans person.
Yeah.
And I will affirm your identity and I will, you know, whatever I can to help you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I come in and I go, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't had long hair since I was fucking 12.
Yeah.
And even then it was not
like that.
It was not good. Yeah. It was not good at all. You know, so I'm going to sit in the chair and you just work your magic.
Yeah.
And that's worked out extremely well.
Yeah.
But too, that it gave us an opportunity to talk about what we were going through separately and learn from each other. And I think there's
definitely where I am. a little bit closer because I see the transmission that's in the car. Transition that you're making,
transmitting on the speaker right now.
There you go. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I want change, mm-hmm. you know, right. So, and I want positive change that I right. like and mm-hmm. I want. I'm like, you yeah. know, so.
And seeing in you the new Michael, the freedom, the that you're living authentically, mm-hmm. It's that mirror.
Yeah.
It's your mom's mirror. It reflects back to yeah. me like, yeah. wow, I'm sure this is what people must see mm-hmm. now.
Yes.
When they see me. And that's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I just love that.
People get to see who you are when you're hiding and no one can see you.
Right.
It's like playing in the dark.
Yeah.
And when you turn the lights on and then everybody's all like, there you are. You're like,
yep.
Nailed it. I like it. It's a good feeling. It makes right. you feel, makes you feel okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a special connection that happens in those environments, in that chair specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I call to make an appointment, I'm like, oh, I need to see Michael. And she's like, oh, he's not available on this day or this day. And will you see so-and-so?
No.
Fuck no, I won't see somebody else. I need my Michael.
Yeah.
Angie does my eyebrows. Michael does my hair. Yeah. And that's the way it's going to be.
That's how it goes.
That's how it's got to be.
There's
no
switching. Substitute. No, right? No better option. That's it.
No, it's just been way too long. And when you build a relationship with yeah. with your customers and then yeah. you become more than customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now I get to do your hair all the time, which exactly. I didn't do your hair for a very long time. It's only been the last.
Were you going to Gretchen?
No, I was not going to Gretchen.
It was the other one. The other one. Salon drama.
She also lost a lot of weight. What's her name?
Alicia.
She was Alicia.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was cool sometimes, but she caused me some trouble. But
yeah, she was good. She did my hair. I didn't have a problem with how she did my hair.
I taught her a lot of stuff.
But then when she moved, I just was like, let's try something different and go see Michael. Mm-hmm.
That's good. I taught her a lot of stuff because I hired her
yeah.
in the salon. She didn't know how to do color.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see her colors out there, I'm like, I formulated that.
So if you could go back in time,
mm-hmm.
and talk to young Michael.
Okay.
Young Michael who was, I'm going to put my penis in a vagina, I guess. Oof, that's what I'm supposed awful. To
downfall
do.
Downfall of my
what
life.
Would you, but what would you say to yourself?
Get it out. Don't go teeth. Down.
It has teeth.
It has teeth. I would say, I wish I could talk to myself.
Right.
As I would be like, you are super cool. You're going to make lots of people happy, but you have to make yourself happy. Now, also, the experience I've gone through is maybe who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I always want to put everybody first. I love seeing people happy. That makes me happy. If I can do anything for you, it drives me bananas. I love it. Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy. Because all I want to do is be able to change where people are headed in the right direction, or at least in a happier place. I don't know. It just, for me, I get it from my mom. Mm-hmm. You know, she never, people will be like, no, I don't need the help. She help anyways. I'm like, mom, mm-hmm. really, come on. You can't force yourself into the house and help them. But she would, and mm-hmm. then everything would be okay. Some people need their doors kicked in and be like, here I am. I'm going to hug you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want it right now, but you're going to accept it and you're going to hug back and you're going to feel it. And then they're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. thank you for pushing me. Or, you know, I'm very into women being strong. Women are very, very strong. They are stronger than men. I feel like they deal with lots of stuff. They have to deal with period. God, it's awful.
Horrible.
Horrible. They have to give birth, and they have to take care of their children, sick or not. Men, we're lazy. So, you know, we're definitely more babies. Women are like, they have to get up. They have to get going. Behind every great man is an amazing woman. I think women aren't appreciated as much as they should be. So any chance that I have, and that's why the hair business is awesome, is that I can make them feel stronger and make them feel beautiful. My friends, I always tell them how beautiful they are. I always show up with flowers for them, and they're like, why do I have flowers? I'm like, it's because you're a woman, and I love you, and you're strong. And you need to be able to feel that way, because you are. I mean, men, they expect so much from you. And then you definitely go over and beyond what you were supposed to do anyways. So that's my thing. My friends are all like, oh, you always make me feel so good. Mm-hmm. They're like, it's not true, but you still make me feel good. I'm like, it's true.
Right. Well, when you leave the salon, I always feel good,
mm-hmm.
because first of all, when I look in the mirror, I feel like I look good.
Mm-hmm.
And through the conversations that we have, you make me feel good, mm-hmm. about myself. And so that's, mm-hmm. to me, it's just amazing.
It's like a recharge kind of.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like when your battery's just not all the way full and then you get topped up.
Yep.
Yep.
That's exactly. So do you want to plug your business? Yeah. Do you want to talk about, we do have some locals listening.
Well, yeah, I...
You don't have to.
I'm in
you
Celebration.
You don't want people to know about your...
Celebration, Florida. TonyMichaelsSalon.com. Tony with an I. I named it after my mom and myself. Which then Tony is also... the man version of Tony is Anthony, which mm-hmm. is my name, my son. Mm-hmm. My dad's name is Michael. So I kind of feel like my little small...
It hits
small,
all the family.
It hits all the family. Tony Michaels Salon. Like I said, TonyWithAnI.com. You can find us on Facebook. Like us. Share. We are very safe. You know, we love who we are. I've been dealing with all my stylists for over 10 years. They're all my personal friends, and they're all hand chosen. Anybody I knew can trust, and a lot of people that I know will back me up and not let me down. Like, leave me as I'm busy or.
Mm-hmm.
I need them. They're all like, I'll stay, you know, whatever helps us together. So if you do get a chance to ever come into the area of Celebration, we're right on the edge. We're almost not Celebration, but we are. We're in that bubble enough that they like to use us. Come stop by and get an experience with any of us. I'm not going to say because I'm the owner, I'm better than anybody else. I've learned everything I know from these girls. And some older and some younger.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something to learn in the hair business. We are never always on our game. Always. We're not always perfect. So learning is very open in our profession.
And I say definitely go. We have a lot of local people that do listen to the show. Highly recommend you go. Everybody in there is great. As long as you don't take my fucking time slot, then you're welcome to go. I will give it my seal of approval.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap up this episode. Michael, please come back.
I will come back whenever you want me.
To have you as a regular.
I will be your regular. You just put me in the book, and this is fun for me. Like this stuff.
It's perfect that your day off coincides with the time we do the show.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So we're going to wrap up now. Episode 41 in the books. Michael, again, thank you for being with us on the show today. Looking at the future here, we're still having some trouble getting Buck Angel lined up. He is just so freaking busy, but he's agreed to be on the show. So we're just working out the details on that. Stick around for Buck. And also on the 27th, did you mean to write April or did you mean to write February 27th? Later this month, we're going to talk to Mia Catherine Smith. She is the founder of this group, Safe in My Chair, that is organizing all of the safe spaces in the salon world where trans folks can go and be affirmed in their identity. So stick around. Lots of great stuff happening this month on Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Sarah Talk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio, and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.